Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And while you turn there, I have a few announcements for you. First of all, I don't like playing guitar anymore. This is my second time to play this summer because our musicians are out of town, and my hand hurts. So if you play a guitar or if you play piano or an instrument, please play. Don't let me do it because I'm tired. And whether it's PowerPoint or piano or sound or even moderating or praying, please don't hesitate to join us in service. And maybe the fact that my hand hurts means that the Lord is calling you to participate. So that's the first announcement. The second announcement is for those of you who are kind of new or have gone, by the way, welcome back, Tatsuaki and Sanae, and also welcome Kei-san and Amir-san. If you are on Facebook, if you are a social network person, please look for us, Facebook, at Mitaki Green Chapel in English, and find us online, and please stay in touch with us. We'll be glad. I usually, not often, but usually post the sermon ahead of time if you like to read before the sermon or what the title will be. You could find it there. Also, our worship leaders will post the songs that they intend to sing that week. So if you want to be familiar with the music that we sing before you come, you can find it on Facebook as well. So that's another announcement. And also, if you feel the Lord is calling you to pray, to come before Him before the service on behalf of the people who come to our service, we have a prayer meeting at 12:45 to 1:15 across the street in the Smile Con. So please come early if you're free and join me in prayer for our service, for our city. So I think that covers our announcements. Now, we're going to get into the Word today. I'm so happy today because I have the privilege of preaching on the mercy of God. This is Christianity. This is what it means to be a Christian. So I'm very, very excited. But before I start preaching, let's read the Word of God together. We're in Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to start at verse 21. It's in your bulletin. I'm sure that the Bible that you have should match the bulletin's version. I'll start at verse 21, and please join me at verse 32. So I'll start the first 10 verses. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. While the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Please read with me. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Our subject today is kingdom mercy. Kingdom mercy. And there is so much to say just reading this passage. And it's very hard to decide where to begin. So let me start from the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. This is the garden. And God created all of the earth and the heavens. And at the pinnacle of creation, he created man. And he decided everything was good except one thing. The one thing that was not good is that man should be alone. And so he gave to man his wife, a partner. And that is called marriage. The marriage of one man and a woman together, whom God has brought together. And so what we find in human life is that the best way to experience life, what makes life easier, what makes life better, is other people, is being together with other people. Now we go to chapter 3 in Genesis, and there's a problem, and that problem is disobedience, rebellion, doing it my way. It's called sin. And man sinned against God and offended God. And so now there's a problem. The one thing that God gave to man for him to flourish is the one thing that makes life hard for man, and that is other people. What makes our life better is other people. But because of sin, what makes our life more difficult is other people. Can I get an amen on that? No? Okay, all right. So, that's the problem, other people. If any of you have ever lived or worked with other people, if any of you have been married to another person, you know that problem. So what's the solution? What does God give us to fix the problem of being offended, of being insulted, of working with other people? God gave us atonement. He gave us payback. And so what he did was he killed an animal, he clothed our nakedness, and he atoned for our sin. And he said in Genesis chapter 3, "I'm going to send someone to you, the seed of the woman who's going to fix all of this. But in the meantime, I'm going to have to do the payback." But he gave something even better than atonement. He gave something better than repayment for sin. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us mercy. That's even better than atonement. It's mercy. And so kingdom mercy, the people of God, the people who live under God's rule, the people who follow God have this thing called mercy. And in Christianity, in the church, we speak of two big words, grace and mercy. And grace, I'm not going to preach on today, but real briefly, grace is what's called unmerited favor. unmerited favor. It's a gift that you have no business receiving. My kids, it's very hot. I have three sons, and they say, Daddy, it's hot. I say, all right, go to the fridge, look inside the freezer, and there's some special present in there for you. I bought it because I love you. And it's ice cream. And they say, Daddy, but what have we done to deserve such a wonderful gift? I say, that's right, nothing. You've done nothing. In fact, the room is a mess. The toys are everywhere. You've been mean to each other, beating each other up. And when you're not playing or making a mess, you're just watching the TV, wasting your time. But you know what? You can still have some ice cream because I love you. I love you. You're my sons. And not only will I give you ice cream, I'll give you presents, toys, whatever you want. Because it's grace. They haven't done anything to deserve it. They can't pay for the ice cream. They have no jobs. They have no money. So I give it all to them because I love. That's grace. And that's for another sermon. But today we're talking about mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is unearned forgiveness. Unearned forgiveness. And so my sons, I have three of them. And the older one is punching the younger one. And the younger one is kicking the older one. And they're fighting and they're pulling each other's hair and they're scratching and they're biting. And then the thing gets crazy and wild. And I say, you guys better be careful. It's not that you're going to hurt each other. That's fine. But you're going to mess up my house. I've got plants. I've got a fan here, another fan here, another fan over there to keep our house cool. You keep messing around, you're going to knock over my fan. And there goes Daddy. Boom, 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 boom. They keep fighting and kicking and all that. And boom, a fan gets knocked over, right? Or glass or something gets broken. There's a problem. And they say, are we going to get spanked? And I know some of you don't believe in spanking. That's traumatizing. We'll talk about that later on. But they've got something coming to them because something of mine has been broken. They owe me something. And I say, mercy. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let you just keep on playing for now because there's mercy. I'm going to pay for this. I'll fix it. Daddy will take care of it. Just keep on playing. Leave me alone. That's mercy. They didn't do anything to get my forgiveness. They didn't do anything to earn my forgiveness. But I'm going to forgive them because I'm going to take the payment. But before I start preaching too much, let's get into our text. Let's please go back to Matthew chapter 18. This is Jesus teaching us about forgiveness, about mercy. And it begins with actually a question from Peter. Peter asks him what? What does he ask? He says, Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Why does Peter bring up this question? For those of you who are just wondering about how this flows, we're in Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is talking about the children of God, becoming a believer, and how you become a Christian is you have to humble yourself and get to the point where you have to start over, be born again, and come into the kingdom like a child. Unless you become like a child, you can't be in the kingdom of God. And then when you enter the kingdom of God as a child, you're going to be amongst other children, spiritual children. And there's going to be sin and problems. And what happens is somebody at some point in this church, as you get to know them, they're going to insult you. Maybe because they're of a different culture. Maybe they're from a different background. Maybe they don't know it, but they said something that's sensitive to you and you are insulted. Or you feel like they've done something against the Bible, or against the church, or against the teaching of the Bible. And so Jesus says, if we're going to handle that, this is how we're going to do it. First, you go one-on-one, and you go face-to-face, and that's how you first deal with it. Have you done that yet? Are you able to go one-on-one and tell somebody what needs to be fixed? The second thing you need to do is, if they still keep on doing it, if they still persist in their disobedience, you go two, and you bring a witness, and you go 2:1. And you go, you take a pastor, you take a leader in the church, and you try to help that person get his life back on track. And then if that doesn't work, if they're still stubborn, if they're still hard-hearted, then you got to do something even more difficult. But whatever it is that you decide, please remember, Jesus tells us this, where two or more are gathered, who are making a decision about discipline in the church, I'm with you. You see, Jesus is saying, I give you, the church, the authority. So if the pastor and somebody else says, you need to leave, you can't lead worship anymore, you can't come to church anymore, Jesus says, I give you that authority by my presence. If one of you or two of you decide, Chris, you're preaching like crazy, you're a madman, you're not preaching the gospel anymore, then you have the authority, okay? Two or more. Jesus says he's with you. And now, that's the verse that often gets out of context. Where two or more are gathered, there I am with them. And you know what? I don't mind. I don't mind you coming up here and saying, well, there's four people on the stage, there's three people here, where two or more are gathered. That's okay. If we have a prayer meeting and there's just two of us there, well, if two or more are gathered, Jesus says, that's a secondary application to that verse. That's okay. But the primary, the first application to that verse is when you make a decision about the family of God under the leading of the Holy Spirit, the principles of the Bible, I'm with you. I give you that authority. I'm with you. Okay, so Peter, the disciples, they're listening to Jesus teach about discipline in the church. And Peter makes the connection. Oh, okay, all right. So they mess up, we go one-on-one. They keep on messing up, we go 2-on-1. They keep on messing up, we get even more serious. So God, our Lord, how many times do I let them keep messing up? How many times can they sin and I forgive them? And Peter, before the Lord can answer, he gives his own answer. Did you see that? How many times can I forgive? And he said, can I forgive 7 times? And Peter, in his mind, he's thinking, yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good number. He thinks, I'm being generous. 7 times. Wow, I'm so full of grace and compassion. Why? Because the teaching in that time, in that day, was rabbis would often say, 3 times, you're out. 3 strikes, you're done. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times, blah, 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 blah. That's it. Fool me 4 times, there's no more. And so Peter, he's like, oh, okay, let me double that and add 1, and I'll be really nice. Jesus will say, good job, Peter. Well done. And what does Jesus say? 7 times? No, 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 no. You got to go higher than that. 77 times, or 7 times 7, or you can just say 700, or 7,000, or 7. What's his point? Jesus is saying, why are you counting? Why are you keeping score? You see, this is the biggest part of forgiveness that we need to understand. Not the biggest part, the first part. The first part of forgiveness is that it is repetitive. It is repetitious. Forgiveness happens over and over and over and over again. Why are we having trouble with other people? Why is it that our friendships can never get a certain point? Why is it that our marriage has plateaued? Why is it that after 2 or 3 years getting to know somebody, I've pretty much need to move on to a new person? Someone once said, if you don't understand forgiveness, you're never going to be a good friend. And not only that, your marriage will never work if you don't understand forgiveness. Why is it that we don't love like we ought? Why is it that we're not happy with our friendships and satisfied, and we're not deep as friends? It's because we don't know what forgiveness is. And so Jesus is teaching us principles of forgiveness. And the first one is, it happens again and again and again. Yes, we have this expression, we forgive and forget. And we get that idea because in the Old Testament it says that God will forgive your sin and he will literally forget it. And it says that he will take, he will separate himself from your sin as far as the east is from the west. That's amazing. If you can forgive a sin and then forget something, you're pretty awesome. I worship you, okay? Because for me, if somebody insults me, I'm still dealing with it. I've got issues and bitterness and anger inside my heart from years back. From elementary school, I still remember when somebody picked on me. From college, I remember somebody who was a Christian and they did me wrong. I remember somebody just a few years ago whom I thought, I'm going to forgive. And I forgive them, I let it go, but the pain keeps coming back. I'm in a moment, I hear a song, I see a picture, and I'm reminded of it, and I have to forgive again. I have to say, okay, God, okay, let's deal with it. Thank you for your forgiveness. Let me keep going. And you have to keep going with that forgiveness again and again and again. That's the first part. Now, from here on, I'm going to give you three principles that Jesus teaches us about forgiveness. That first one, pretty much anybody can understand. It doesn't matter what religion you are, what culture you're from. Hinduism will teach you should forgive each other. Islam teaches be merciful, be kind, don't hold a grudge. Buddhism, get rid of your anger. Right? Don't be angry, be give, and you know, all that stuff. That's pretty much general. But what separates Christian forgiveness, what makes Christian mercy different, is these next two principles. Okay? And Jesus is illustrating that first one by giving us this parable. He gives us the parable of the servant, and he's saying that forgiveness in Christianity is different from all the other forgiveness in the world, is because Christian forgiveness is received. It's repetitious and it's received. In the world, in any moralistic system, in any way that we forgive outside of Jesus Christ, it's based on what? Payback. Compensation. Recompense. You have hurt me. You have insulted me. I have suffered because of what you have done to me. So how can I forgive you? This is how everybody else does it. If I see you suffer, if I see you pay back what you owe me, if I see you go through what I went through, emotionally, physically, mentally, financially, okay, then we're even. That's how everybody else works. We want to be even, we compare. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, insult for insult. That's how it all works in the world. Jesus says, no, no, no. It's not how it works in the kingdom. Out there, it's payback. In here, it's received. Out there, it's recompense. Here, it's received. What's the illustration? The parable. So this master who's rich, he has servants. One servant owes him, it says, a lot of 10,000 bags of money. The word there is talents, myria talent. The word myriad comes from that word, 10,000. So basically, it's the highest number in the Greek language, and it's the highest amount of money in that time. So what's the Japanese equivalent? I don't know, oku-en, oku, right? I don't know, zen, non-zen oku. Cho, oku, cho, okay, thank you. chōokumam in, whatever, okay? Just it, basically, if you said zillions of dollars, okay? That's what Jesus is saying. There was a servant, he owed the master gazillions of dollars. And he says, you owe me, you can't pay, so I'm taking you, your wife, your kids, your property. It won't pay everything, but in the eyes of the law, we're settled. So the servant, he gets on his knees and he begs him. He's humbled, he's heartbroken, and he asks for forgiveness. And the master, full of compassion, takes pity on him. And he says, all right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to cancel your debt. And the word debt right there, he uses a very interesting word. It's the word for loan. The loan is in that word means it's something that you could pay back. It's something I'm going to pay it for you. I'm going to pay your loan. You can be free. You don't have to go to jail. Your wife doesn't have to go to jail. Your children don't have to be sold. Your property is still yours. He can live his life again because the master had mercy on him. And so the guy, he receives mercy, okay? Now he goes to his other servant that very next moment. He finds someone who owes him 100 denarii. Denarii, it basically gives 100 denarii, that can be paid off. About 100, give it a couple of months, maybe within a year, he can pay that. And he finds him, he puts his hands on him, he starts choking him, and he says, give me back my money. That's a funny picture, by the way. He starts choking him, and the other guys, they have to pull him off and get him back. And he's being held back, and the servant who owes him just a few hundred bucks, he gets on his knees. And he begs him, and he says, please be patient with me. Give me some time. I'll pay you back. And what does that servant do? He's hard-hearted. He's stiff-necked. And he won't forgive him. He's received forgiveness. He won't give it. You catching that? And so the other people who's holding him back, they say, what? This is not right. And they go to the master who had forgiven him. And the master calls him in and said, what? You wicked servant. I gave you mercy. And here's the word that he used. Shouldn't you have given mercy to that servant? Instead, you didn't, so you're going to get tortured. And he hands him off to be tortured for as long as he can pay it off, which is forever, because it can't be paid off. It's 10,000 talents. And so Jesus is saying to us, why are you keeping count? You don't keep count. If you're going to be friends for a long time, you stop keeping count. There's a man named Samuel Keane, and he said, the cadence of friendship is measured in decade-long rhythms. The cadence of friendship is... Real friendship lasts decades. Do you have friendships that last decades? If you do, you know you have had to forgive many times. You don't keep count. You just have to keep forgiving. You have some friends where they're just taking from you. They're your friends, but they just keep taking and taking and taking. That's their role in your life. You're the giver, they're the taker, but you're friends. That's just how it works. And you have other friends, you're the taker and they're the giver, and you keep taking and taking and taking. But that's friendship. Why are you keeping count? In marriage, you know you can't keep count. You go one day, you try to keep count, you're in trouble. But it's not based on them paying you back. It's based on what you've already been given. It's received. So this servant received forgiveness. And that is the basis for him being able to give forgiveness. He received mercy, therefore he can give mercy. That's not how everybody else does it. Now to my last point. Forgiveness in the kingdom of God, mercy under Jesus Christ is repetitive. It's received. And third, it's revealed. It reveals something. And where do I get that? It's in verse 35. It says, unless you forgive from your heart. Right there. I need you to underline that right there. From your heart. Basically, what it's saying is, the way you forgive other people shows what's in your heart. The way you give out shows what you have received. Does that make sense? What comes out of you, it reveals what has gone into you because it's from your heart. Unless you forgive from your heart, you don't understand what forgiveness is. What does that mean, from your heart? It means when you've forgiven somebody and you've had to forgive again and again and again, it means you don't want them to suffer anymore. You don't want to fire back at them. You don't need any payback. In fact, you want them to have their life again. You want them to live normal. You don't want their children. You don't want their spouse. You don't want their problem. You just say, you live your life. And if there's anything I can do to help you out, let me know. There's no longer bitterness and anger, no more animosity. There is love. Now, let me illustrate this. I don't like to talk about myself all that much. I know you're thinking, no, Chris, you do like to talk. I don't, especially for these kinds of illustrations, but this is all I got, so bear with me. Some of you know my story. You know that the biggest hurt that I have ever received, my biggest wound, has been given to me from my biological father. My father, I've never met. And you say, well, how could he have hurt you if he's never met you? That's the whole reason why I'm hurt, is because he never showed up. He abandoned my mom before I was born. And I was angry, I was bitter, I was just full of hate because of the life my mom and me had to go through, growing up, just having no dad, my mom having no husband to take care of us, my mom having to work two jobs, me having no dad and no family and blah, 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 blah. I was angry. And it all came to a point when I was 15 years old. I was dealing with all this bitterness and anger. And God came in. He stepped into my life and he said, Chris, I'm going to give you something no dad could ever give you. And he gave me himself. God gave me himself through the cross. And at that moment, I said, okay, God, I will take that. I'll take whatever you want to give me as a dad. And when I received what God gave me, I literally felt like I could float. If I stood up, I felt like I would just float out of the room, like walking out. The weight had been lifted off. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever come to that point where everything is just gone? It's like the typhoon. You know, during the typhoon, it's just humid, it's heavy, it's chaotic, it's windy, it's just crazy. And then after the typhoon has passed, it's just beautiful, peaceful, clear, calm. It was like that for me. But here's what it revealed. I had no more animosity towards my dad. Right now, I don't hate him. I want him to have a great life. I don't need for him to pay me back anything. I've been given so much that when I think of my dad, I still haven't met him, but I hope someday, maybe in God's grace, I'll have that chance. And if I do have that chance, I'm going to say, it's okay, Dad. It's okay, you know, whatever your name is. I forgive you. I have forgiven you. And I hope you're having a good life. It's from my heart. It's revealed what I have received. Now, I'm not saying I'm free from that, because there's other people who have hurt me, and I'm still dealing with that bitterness, that anger. I'm still trying to resolve that. And I'm learning to forgive from my heart. But that was the biggest one I've had. My friends, you know, the ones who love you the most, they will hurt you the deepest. The ones who you've known the longest, they were the ones who will wound you even greater. But Jesus is telling us, if you will be my servant, if you will be my child, if you will be my follower, I'm going to give you all the forgiveness you need so that you can give it to other people. And it will be from your heart. You see, the world says, forgiveness is not about them, it's about you. The other teachers will tell you, forgiveness is about you freeing yourself from bitterness and anger, and it's all about being therapeutic. And I'm guilty of teaching that too. You know, it's all about you just having a normal life and becoming whole. And that's a nice teaching, and that's true, and forgiveness in Christianity is that, but it's so much more. In fact, that's pretty weak forgiveness if it's just about you being free. Christian forgiveness is about God being glorified, which is a whole lot better than your freedom from bitterness. Christian mercy says, I've got so much more than just being enemies. I've got being lovers and friends. I've got freedom for you that you have never known. If you have your Bible, if it's a paper Bible, I want you to write in it. And I want you to go on verse 35 and just write in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, okay? And if it's your mobile device, iPad or iPod, whatever, you can touch it and write a note, right? And I want you to write in that note, Ephesians chapter 4, 32. And it says, look, forgive one another just as God in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, forgave you. Okay, forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's the difference between Christian mercy and everything, all the other kinds of mercy, is that through this cross, we have now the power to forgive. Are you having trouble forgiving? Are you having trouble letting go of bitterness and anger? I'm not trying to be a psychologist or a therapist. I'm just trying to be a Bible teacher right now. If you're having trouble letting go, you need to go to one place, the cross. The cross. Why is that so important? Because to the degree that you understand how much you've been forgiven, that's the degree to which you will be able to forgive. What did Jesus say? He that has loved much will love much. He that has been forgiven much will love much. When did he say that? There was a woman. She had a reputation. She was from Nagarakawa. She worked in the red light district. She was known for being a little bit wild. Jesus had touched her life, had transformed her, and had lifted her out of that life. And out of gratitude, she takes her money. She buys perfume. She goes to Jesus. She washes the feet of Jesus with her tears, wipes the feet with her hair, pours the perfume all over Jesus. And everybody around Jesus said, what? Do you know who's touching you, Jesus? Do you realize what kind of person this is? And Jesus says, yeah. She's a person who has been loved much. You don't know that kind of love. You think you're so righteous. You've lived a good, moral, average, nice life. You've got nothing to be forgiven of. But she understands what she's been forgiven of. Do you understand what you've been forgiven of? You think you are so normal. You think what you've done this morning, yesterday, the other day, it's not that big a deal. It's a white lie. It's just my own little thing. Do you understand that God is holy? Do you understand he's righteous and he's perfect? And that your little white lie is an offense, is rebellion, is an insult to his holiness. Do you understand that? Do you weep over your sin? Do you do that? To the degree that you understand your wickedness, you will understand how much he's loved you. And that's how you learn to forgive, is by understanding how much you've been forgiven. So please go to the cross again and see how much he's cleansed you. And now some of you, you know. You know he's forgiven you. You know he's washed you. You know you're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Know it again. Know it deeper. And when you know it, give it to someone else, because kingdom mercy is mercy that we've received. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, my friend. It's a beautiful thing to have the mercy of God and to give the mercy of God. It's the most free, wonderful life to live. And it's to the glory of God. So I pray that we understand, that we learn the meaning of kingdom mercy as we go from here. That's our message for this week. Let's meditate on that. Would you pray with me and bow your heads? Oh, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son that we could learn what real forgiveness is. We think we can forgive and forget once, and then it's over and done with. But Lord, you teach us that it has to go over and over again, 70 times 7. And Lord, we think it's all about payback and recompense, but Lord, it's about what we received from you. And how do we know that we've received from you? It is because we forgive from our heart, Lord. Oh, God, I pray for some of us here who thought we could just do it once and be rid of it. Lord, give us the strength to do it again and again. Oh, God, for some of us who are just looking for payback, who are looking for vengeance, oh, God, give us the mercy that we can give it to that person. And then, Lord, for those of us who need to forgive from the heart, help us, Lord God, to go down deep into it, Lord. Father, we come to you and we thank you for the mercy. We thank you for the forgiveness. And Lord, with that, the joy and the freedom that comes with it. We glorify you. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.